Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Nida Daf Nun Dalet, Nida 54. And today's Daf Yomi, we begin the new chapter, chapter 7, which is called Dam Hanida, the blood of the Nida, which is the 7th chapter. So on 54b, the Mishnah states, Dam Hanida, the blood, the uterine blood, the blood that came out from the source of the, and therefore is going to transmit ritual impurity in a manner similar to a Nida herself, meaning to say that it can make a person and the garments that the person wears ritually impure, whether by carrying them or by touching them. So under these circumstances, Ubasar Hames, and also the flesh of a dead body, which generally speaking transmits tumah if it is the size of an olive portion, mitamen lachen umitamen evasion, that the blood of the nida and the flesh of a dead body, they are able to transmit the tumah whether they are in their moist state, their natural state, and also when they are in a dry state. However, avo hazov, this is the flow that comes out from Azav, from a man who has a secretion from his member, Vahaniya, and also the phlegm from such a man, Vaharok, and the spit from such a man. Those things are going to be considered primary sources of Tumah, just like the Zav himself, and they can make a person and garments Tamei by touching or by carrying. Vahasharetz, the sharetz is one of 8 specific type of creepy crawly creatures that when they are dead, we say that they transmit tumah if there's a size of a lentil and they're able to make a person and utensils tamei by touching. Vahanavela, and a carcass, which is mitamei if it is the size of an olive-sized portion, and it's also going to make a person and utensils tamei by touching or by carrying, vashich vasera, and the male seed. In all of these cases, we say mitamen lachen ve'emitamen yevashin. They transmit the ritual impurity only when they're in their moist state, but not when they're in their dry state. Ve'em yicholen, and this is a key point which we'll come back to. Im yicholen lihisharo. So let's say we said that they don't transmit the ritual impurity when they're in their dry state. However, let's say we're able to regenerate them and make them moist again. Im yicholen lihisharo. If we can soak these items in water, and then return them to a moist state, return them to their initial vitality, then we say indeed, indeed we say they can transmit their tumah in a state of moistness and also in a state of dryness. And says our Mishnah, vikama hi shriyasan, and how long would we have to soak them when they're in their dry state in order to check to see if they could return to the moist state and thereby transmit ritual impurity. Biposhrin, if it would be in water that is considered to be lukewarm, that's not too hot and not too cold, then me'es la'es. If they would be able to return to their moist state, if we soak them for a 24-hour period, then we say that they are able to be transmitted tumah. So that is the status. But Rabbi Yossi argues with this. He says, Bisar hames yavesh, if it is the flesh of a dead body that is in its dry state, ve'enu yachol lihisharos, and it can't return, v'achzor l'kamot shahaya, he argues with the Tana Kama and says that the flesh is tahor, that if it's in its dry state, the flesh of a human is tahor. So we see from our Mishnah that when it comes to the Zov, to his secretion, and to the Sharetz, and to the Nevela, and to the Shechvasera, that all these items, they are able to transmit the Tumah only when they're in their moist state and they're not in their dry state. But if they're not completely dry, so much so that they're able to return to their status, if they are soaked, then we say that they are also able to transmit the Tumah. And the returning of the status requires 24-hour soaking period. So the poskim discuss whether or not we can learn from here this rehydrating of this tumah, whether we can learn from here also with respect to prohibited food items, like even pork, for example, or that was dried out. Do they lose their prohibited status once they are dried out? And do we say that the law with them relates to this law of whether or not we can leave it in its status and return it to its soak it in lukewarm water and return to its previous status. And also, another factor that comes into being is whether it needs to be specifically based upon something that is soaked in warm water, or whether it can even happen through cooking. And one of the major areas where this is a dispute is with respect to gelatin that comes from basically a non-kosher animal, whether it can be rehydrated and then is it become prohibited. So the Ramah rules in Yoredeya, in Simen Pei Zayin Sif Yud, the Ramah rules that when it comes to the lining of a keva, one of the stomachs of the cow, that they salted it and dried it out until it became dry like wood. And afterwards, if it was filled with milk, the Ramah rules that that milk is permitted to drink and is not going to be prohibited from the prohibition of basar b'chalav. And the reason is that since the lining of the stomach dried out, it became like wood. And so therefore, since it's going to be considered like wood, there's no moisture of the meat, and therefore it's permitted. And the Shach writes that nevertheless, we shouldn't eat it. But the Ramah rules specifically, since it became dried out, it was permitted. And in the Shach rules, ideally we shouldn't do it. But this became a debate amongst the poskim to this day, whether or not the gelatin that from a non-kosher animal, whether it become permitted. Because once it's in its dry state, it becomes dry like wood. But once it's reinvigorated, then it's alive. And if that's the case again, once it's reinvigorated and it's moist, then basically most of the food items in the world can now be brought down to a state where they're dry and then reinvigorated. And this is one of the sources for the discussion of that very important debate.